shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. My name is Chris Jeppin.
I'm Katie Norgan. I'm eating a grape.
And with us today, we have two guests. That's right.
For the first time.
It's Abby. Hi, Abby.
Hey.
And Chelsea.
Hello.
Hi, Abby and Chelsea. I don't think I've met either of you before. Mm-hmm.
Abby and Chelsea and I went to school together.
We did.
Abby is just visiting from India.
Yes.
And so last minute, again, we've been having a lot of like interesting last minute things.
Yeah.
Where a scheduled guest was sick, and then I was just like, wait, I remember, Abby, you said that you were going to be in town. And she's like, yeah, I'm actually here right now. I'm like, oh, well, maybe do you want to come over sometime this week or even right today?
We had no plans, so it worked out.
We didn't. I'm like, ooh, have you done podcasts before?
No.
Like,
no.
Ooh.
I listen to so many of them at work, though.
Ooh, which ones do you like?
All the things.
There's so many of them, though.
It depends what I'm doing.
Yeah, if you're cleaning up weird stuff or putting out literal
data
fires.
Data entry.
Yeah.
That's the best time to do it. So yeah. I was listening to a podcast on the way over here. I've been getting really, really into the McElroy brothers on the Maximum Fun Network, which is like the one division between me and Chris and podcast.
I don't dislike them. I just don't really understand what they're all about.
I don't know. I've just fallen in love with them. They have a weird, absurd little world that they're just only they are part of somehow, and it's just you feel like you're being led into something very secret.
Oh, fun!
They have bits that just like, ah, I'm island boy. I like to go to fucking Margaritaville and hope Jimmy B makes me some coconut shrimp. You know, like. That's what I like to do, you know? Like, wait, is that real? Did you do that? Did you really think Jimmy Buffett was going to be there? Like, helping you, making the shrimp for you? Like, I was just, yeah, you just fall in. They're like, well, it makes sense in that world. That weird little world.
The secret world.
Every podcast has its own world. Ours is full of crystals and wine and
we've been, you know, when we first started this podcast, we were like, and then we'll have all these recurring characters. We have our intern, his name is Todd, he's a crab.
Yeah, Todd hasn't been by in a while.
Yeah, he's been totally slacking on his intern duties.
What do we not pay him for?
Oh my god.
Aww. Yeah, we haven't been really committing to these bits anyway.
I've even stopped saying that we're recording live from the sea shanty shack down by the sea in East Vancouver, probably because I can't fucking say sea shanty shack all together.
Yeah, I mean, the theme song kind of takes care of it. We're down by the sea.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I think that's fine.
It's fine.
It's true.
It's cool. We talk about kombucha enough that people know we're in East Vancouver.
Yeah, we're getting tacos.
I am not in India anymore.
Getting quesadillas. So far, we've only eaten things with cheese or
yes.
Deep fried.
Both.
It's a good diet.
Yeah, I miss cheese.
Do you not? You're not supposed to eat it?
No, you just can't get it where I live. There's a one store that sells cheese, and I go in there sometimes, and sometimes they have feta, and it's a really exciting day. And I pay like $16 for a block of it, and then
shit.
I like hoard it. And then I'm like, all of the things, and then you sort of ration it out. You're like, today I'm going to put it in a salad, but I need to keep the rest.
Just like slicing off salty little cubes. Well, that's a good time. That's good. You can get paneer, I would assume.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, it's not, it tastes like what you cook it in, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like.
It's like the tofu of cheese.
Yeah. It and it's tasty, but
it's not like
the cheese that I miss.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's like tasty cheese that you cook with other things.
Are you going to be able to like bring a whole bunch back with you?
See, I thought about it, but you're not. Okay, I get really stressed out when I go through customs, and even though it's pretty lax, I always didn't, there are rules, and I'm not a rule breaker. I just can't. I get really stressed out, so I just don't bring the cheese back.
See, and I remember the first time I came back from Uganda, and I was going through customs, and they're like, do you have any of like plant-based material? I had a banana fiber hat. I was wearing it through customs. And I had an entire bag full of like banana fiber baskets. And I'm like, no, I don't.
I don't know if they think about your hat as made of banana fiber.
Yeah,
it was just like a big straw hat that was made out of banana fiber.
I don't think they were too worried about it.
I get so nervous going, just even driving over the border into the States.
Oh my
where
God,
they're like,
sure.
Do you got any vegetables?
That's legitimately scary.
I'm like, in my tummy. Like, I'm so pathologically honest that I'm just like, I ate some just now. I'm smuggling it in somehow.
You're like, I have an apple
it'll run
right
through
now.
Yeah, well, like snacks and stuff. Like, I've definitely said that. It's like, oh, I've got this snack, and they're like, you better eat that like soon. And it's like,
don't put that in the ground. Don't like put your dates in the ground.
As if this like apple that I'm gonna eat is gonna infect like Blaine, Washington, which is right over the border.
I got a basket full of pine beetles that I thought I would just have a little munch down on because I'm a goddamn monster.
I do have like pine beetle stuff. That's the thing that I've got at work. We have these name tags made out of pine beetle wood.
Oh, it's all fucked up from the pine beetles.
Yeah, because it's like we can't use it for timber anymore, so we'll just like
for jewels.
We'll make trinkets out of it. It's kind of
coasters.
Yeah,
you get some coasters. You make a clock. That was like such a thing in my childhood. Was every old person had like a clock that was made out of a slice of a tree that had been glazed. It's just, so you're like, did everybody have that? Because I never saw that. It's just a coincidence, I guess, in my life that a lot of grandparents had that. It's just like a cross section of a tree that became a clock. I think I've
seen those.
Thank you. I felt like I was taking crazy pills.
Where did you grow up?
Here.
I was gonna be like, are you from Prairie People? I'm from Prairie People.
No, I married into Prairie People.
Because, you know, big sections of tree are like valuable there.
Yeah, it's like, what? This isn't wheat.
Where did this tree come? Where did this tree come from?
Is it Kirkland, Saskatchewan? Where is it that had the worst town slogan for the longest time? Was the other word for canola and honey?
Rapeseed?
Yeah, they're like, my God. The land of rape and honey.
That's terrible.
There's also a gopher museum if you're going into one from Alberta to Saskatchewan. There's a gopher museum. It's full of stuffed gophers. It's full of stuffed gophers in costumes. They sell calendars.
I've heard of this before. I've also heard of there's like a spooky ghost haunting somewhere in, like a train ghost is haunting somewhere in Saskatchewan as well. I heard about all this on Stop Podcasting Yourself, honestly. Just podcasts again.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Canada.
Yeah, thank you.
Speaking of haunted, I feel like there's a ladybug that's haunting my house right now.
Like just a living one?
Yeah, so I guess it's not really haunted. That's stalking you. But, like, for the last weeks, many, many weeks, we're just like, there's that fucking ladybug again, and we keep shooing it outside, and it keeps...
It just wants to be in your
house.
Why
don't you name her?
What would you name a ladybug?
Katiebug.
You could be a ladybug for Halloween.
Don't you remember I used to have that red and black spotted dress that I wore all the time, and you're like, you're a Katiebug, you would say to me.
Aw, we were so sweet. Cute. Were we ever so young?
Yes. That was like, it was 20, 21, I would say, maybe. Oh, God.
How was your week, Katie?
Pretty cool. Started taking antidepressants.
Yeah. You're feeling better.
I just kick at the sun. Yeah. No, I just feel less bad. I do, though. It kind of fucked up my sleep a little bit, but not so bad that I'm, like, horrible. I just have been doing that 4 a.m., like, clong, and my eyes are open, and... You know what I mean?
You feel slightly altered, yeah.
That, like, boom, time to think about things. Oh, but no. It's not, like, bad anxiety or anything. It's just sort of, like...
The rumination?
Yeah, I feel, like, a little bit like I'm looking down on myself. Like, hey, it's, yeah, like, sort of weird extra awareness. It's a strange sensation. I'm having an odd time of it, but it's not bad. So,
cool.
Pretty good so far.
That seems very Buddhist of you to be like, I'm the person observing myself having these feelings right now.
I want to get to that state where I can actually do that one day and observe my emotions from a distance, because usually I'm just in them and I'm like,
I'm bad at even being in them. I'm overhauling my mental health right now. I had a therapy appointment. I got on antidepressants. I'm just like checking myself before I wreck myself. So far, so good. Yeah, you got to. What choice do you have? Yeah. Just like self-help structures, vision boards,
journaling.
Yes, everything. Like checklists, you name it. I had a therapy appointment. Remember, my therapist was just like, just please cry. Like, she just like made me cry
advice.
For 45 minutes. I was like, I hate this. She's like, yeah, you do. And that was like the whole thing.
Oh my
gosh. It was really, I left feeling amazing. Honestly, I was just like, okay, I cleared some shit out. You know, like emptied out the garage or whatever.
Yeah. So, spring cleaning, except for it's fall.
Emotional attic.
I was going to say I haven't cried for a while, but then I remember last Thursday I just like collapsed into a heap at work. I had a hard time. We had a person come in very crisis-y and just wouldn't let me do anything or even intervene or advocate. They just like poured out all of their trauma at me, which was really hard. And then I was just like, you have to leave. And then I just went and cried for like really hard.
But good for you for telling them they had to leave.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. It's hard to do that, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had some other weird hard feelings this week where I noticed there was, like, an old coworker of mine in my old job that I worked at with, you know, folks with, like, severe substance use. And at this job, I got attacked by a client, and it was, like, super scary. Sorry, I just made you totally jump.
No, I just, that must be horrible.
Yeah, and, like, it wasn't, it was more, like, intimidation, the person threatened me and all this kind of stuff. Mm. But, you know, I had so much empathy for this person. Like, he was really in a bad place. He was, like, a severe, severe, severe alcoholic, like, had all this trauma in his past, so I wasn't, like, ever angry at him, but I was still like, that was scary. And
yeah. You're not traumatized.
Yeah, and, like, that was, you know, behavior that I don't want to have happen again, and so I, like, moved to a different work site, and, like, I guess this person, like, moved on and got some other help with some other things, and so I saw all these other coworkers of mine, because he passed away, like, last year. Mm-hmm. And just this one, I miss my best buddy. He was just the best guy. And I'm just like, I'm having so many hard feelings about, like, I'm so scared of that person. And you're just like, I love that guy. He's the best guy. I'm like, but
there's was this he? Thing.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough.
It was, like, super complicated. Oof. There's been a lot of, like, weird, like, memorial stuff happening. And, like.
Yeah, that dredges up some shit.
It sure does. Ugh. Not into it.
It's just not feeling.
So, but I'm trying to. I'm trying to sit with my hard feelings as well and not just, like,
ugh. Right? Isn't it just so ugh?
I hate feelings.
They suck. I want to turn them off.
I want to be a robot.
And then you get somebody telling you, do it. Just feel them. Just weep it on out there, Katie. And you're like, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. But then they make you.
Yeah. That's so, but good. It feels good, right? Yeah. Like, you feel the feelings and you get through them and you realize it's not the end of the world. And then you just kind of.
The world keeps spinning.
Yeah.
Why does it do that?
Physics.
Yeah. Astrophysics, maybe?
Inertia.
I don't know. I have an arts degree.
Oh, man. Boy.
So,
yeah, my week was similarly just, like, doing the take care of yourself routine. I cooked a lot this week.
Hey, good.
Which was really nice. Nice. Went swimming at the pool. Today I went to, like, a demonstration of the, Survivors totem pole that went up in Pigeon Park, which is downtown.
Right on.
And it was this beautiful totem pole that was carved by this woman named Bernie, Scundall Williams. Sure. She had this whole carver team of, like, mostly women.
Oh, cool.
And so it was, like, this huge procession today, like, in the pouring rain in downtown Vancouver with just, like, all, like, these elders and matriarchs from, like, indigenous cultures, like, all came together and put up this totem pole that was supposed to be, like, a memorial for Indigenous women that were missing and murdered or, like, survivors of violence. So it was, like, a pretty intense thing, but, like, so joyful. Everyone was just, like, singing and drumming, and then they put up this huge totem pole. It was, like, raised down by this giant crane. Everyone was just, like, cheering.
Ooh, it was so cool.
It was so cool. I saw, like, everyone was just, like, crying and cheering and singing, and it was really beautiful. And, like, it was one of those things as, like, a white person and, like, a settler in this area to be like, okay, Indigenous culture, alive and well. Obviously, like, you think of totem poles as things in museums or at, like, monuments. It's like, no, here's some new art and, like, it's a new story that someone has recorded now and now it's going to be out in public and it's so beautiful. So
that's awesome.
Kind of a neat,
that's freaking awesome.
Kind of a neat day.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know. So nice. that was my week.
That's awesome.
Anything exciting happen in your week, Chelsea? Or just kind of chilling, doing your work stuff.
Doing work stuff. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of data entry. It was so exciting. It was great.
I do kind of love data entry for, like, if it represents that you have downtime from your job.
No, it just needed to be done.
Someone had to do it. But you listen to podcasts.
I do.
It's okay.
Yeah. And ridiculous music on Google Play.
So it helps.
I found a playlist that was, like, wedding walks, like, when you come down, and I was like,
what?
Like, yeah! I was like, this is a playlist, like, people, like, that the bridal party, like, walks down to. There's a playlist in Google. There's just
a playlist for any occasion on Google Play, or it used to be Songza, right? Yeah, and they had, Songza.
What happened to Songza?
Like, angry weightlifting was the one that I saw. Or, like, the country weightlifting was
Oh, that's not
and
a thing.
I love the apartment party for chill people, or cool party at your apartment.
Nobody's peeing.
Kind of cleaned my house so that you it's could clean. Have a place.
It's like, really clean-ish. It's really lovely. I came in and there was like, it was so grown up. There were like towels laid out. Ooh, yeah. It was amazing.
My mom would be so proud of me.
I was proud of you.
A little chocolate
yeah.
on the...
Oh, I got up and went to yoga at 6:30 on Friday.
Ew.
I know, it was gross.
I want to encourage you, but gross.
I know, no, I committed to like the self-care not even going out. To yoga with one of my friends at work. I was like, yeah, let's do this. So my favorite class is at 2 on Saturdays. And I was like, but Abby's here, and we're going to do things. Not that we had planned to do anything, but I was like, we're going to do things. And we could have done that. But I was just like, I should probably, if I'm committing to do this once a week, going to do it. And she's like, let's do the 6. I was like, fine.
The 6 a.m. But isn't it nice? You get up, you do it, and then it's done.
Yeah.
And then you feel good.
No. I was like, this is good. This is great for me. But I have an old foot injury, and now my foot is angry with me, because all we did was balance on one foot for so long.
That's garbage but I was like, yoga.
This is, yeah. I was like, this is excellent for me, but as soon as I left, I was like, I'm glad I did this, but I really wish I was sleeping right now.
Yeah.
I think that's how exercise works in general. That's kind of how I feel about exercise.
I don't know how people get up and just do it immediately first thing in the morning. I'm like, I need to get okay with the fact that I'm alive again.
I'm just like, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, I've got a friend who just like, she's like, yeah, I get up every morning at 6 and I work out before I go to work. I'm like,
No.
That is not me.
My sleeping brain is like hedonist brain. So it's just like, what do you want to do? Oh, I want to sleep. Sleep.
We were doing it. It was working out just fine for us.
Yeah, it was excellent.
I wake up and I'm awake. Like whether it's at 4 a.m. or 6:30 or 7 or whatever. Yeah. And I just like, bang. And I'm like, okay, that's it. Like there's no way for me to get back to sleep. I did it this morning because I woke up at 5:30. After going to bed at midnight, I was like, that's not sufficient. So, just got real stoned, and I went back to bed, and it finally worked. It took forever, but I finally fell asleep, like, around 7, and woke up at 10, which I never do. Mm. I've never woken up that late, not in the last year. Wow. I don't want to count it, because there was, like, 2 hours in there that I wasn't sleeping, so technically I woke up at 8.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah, that's not an option for me. If there's a way to overthink a situation, I'm gonna do it.
Oh my goodness.
For sure. You know this about me.
I do.
I'm an overthinker too, so I sympathize.
So, it's Abby, right?
Yes.
Where do you come from? Where do you go? Where do you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Oh, wow.
Tell us about your sleep schedule.
Well, I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning. Know, yeah. And then I stayed awake. So I've been awake for like 12 hours at least by now.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Well, I've had a lot of coffee. I'm amazed. Yes. I live in a city called Lucknow in India.
Yeah. So we all met in school doing public health, and you did global health, and you both did global health, right?
Yeah, we
and
did.
And you really went global with it.
Yeah, I definitely did.
So then
did.
It's like suddenly it's like, oh, I'm going to go do a job in India now.
Yeah, it sort of fell into my lap. And now I just ended up there. It was not planned. At all.
That's pretty cool.
That is. I have such an open-ended question, which is just, what's that like?
Interesting.
It's the dream of all global health students being like, I just want a job somewhere.
I really just wanted a job.
That's not here.
When did you move there?
Oh my god, almost 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you've just been there the whole time? Is this a regular visit back, or?
Not to Vancouver. I came home after 1 year, so I was there for a full year. And then I came home in July, and now I'm in Canada, but not going home.
Ooh.
So that's a bit bizarre. I'm just here for a conference. Mm-hmm. And then I will go back, and then I will come back for Christmas. It's kind of a crazy month.
Wow, that is really
That's
back
a lot
and
of
forth.
Long flights.
Yeah, I'm actually really good at long flights now.
You
I'm
get
like,
all the movies.
Just do it. You
I
just
think you should try. I think you should try the wine.
No, the wine?
There's unlimited alcohol on international flights.
Oh, see, yeah. I don't do it because I live in a city where there aren't really bars to go to, my tolerance for drinking has really gone down. So now if I have like a glass of beer, it's like, woo! It's really sad.
You're gonna like crawl up to first class and be like, I get to be here now.
Help me, I'm poor.
Oh yeah, totally graduate. That's where it's from. It's like, why does that seem like something that would be funny?
That would be something that happens funny. To me now. So
How long is the flight? I assume there's two legs to it.
Yeah, so there's a horrible flight that you can do from Toronto to Delhi direct. Ugh. And it's truly awful. It's like 15 hours. Ugh. It's all of the bad things about flying. But then from there, I usually have to take another flight to Lucknow. It's only about an hour from Delhi, That's not a fun... Well, it's, like, really short, so you don't have time to think about it. But there's... Usually you go through Europe, but I usually have to take a cheap flight. So the Toronto to Delhi flight is... Yeah, it's not a fun one.
You just have to do the endurance test, basically.
You just kind of do it. You just get on and you're like, just go. Just, I want to get this over with. And you just do it.
The flight from here to Sydney, Australia is really brutal. Like, I think that they do have... They might actually have one that's straight. Like,
I've done it.
17 hours or something like that. Oh. But
it's truly miserable.
I flew to Honolulu and then like another 12 hours on to Australia, and it was by the time I got to Honolulu I was exhausted, and then it was like, oh, it's 15 hours now on an Air Canada flight where you're in the middle of the row that's right in front of the giant screen where there's no ability to move the seat back and you don't get any foot room at all. It was just so, I was like, everything hurts so much, and I'm very young, so this shouldn't happen. I was like 20. If I did that now, I would just be crying the entire time.
Yeah, it's miserable. It's not fun.
I would just have a funnel and have the
alcohol.
The flight attendants just pouring little bottles of white wine down my body. down my body.
It's how you ingest it.
I just suck it up through my skin, you know, like a weird liquor lizard.
Wine osmosis.
Yes. Magic in that way.
Girl. See, that's like, I have worries about, like, I'm very stuck in my Canada, BC thing. Like, I did my practicum, I went to Scotland, and I realized that I could live elsewhere, and it wasn't as scary as I thought it was, but the culture there is so similar to Canada that it didn't really feel like a difference, and, like, coming home didn't feel like that far, like an 8-hour flight, but then to, like, go live somewhere else in the world that's, like, so far away and so different still it's freaks different. Me out. So
it's not that bad. You just do it. I mean, Scotland's different enough, but you kind of, I mean, I kind of freaked out because I lived in India before, but in big cities where people speak English, people don't really speak English where I live, and the alphabet is different. I remember landing there the first time and all the signs were in Hindi, and I was like, okay, this is my life now. I've got to get it together. And you just do it. I don't know.
Do you speak Hindi?
A little bit, but very poorly. There's nowhere to learn it.
See, the last time my big trip, I did my practicum in Kenya. And so I was in Nairobi. And, but it was, like, a big project that was still in, like, the developing phases. So I worked in an office in Nairobi. And my mom's like, tell me your stories! And I'm like, Mom, I work in an office.
Like, Africa's not exactly what you think.
I was like, you were concerned about my safety, so I live with nuns. So what do? I wake up, the biggest part of my day is that I make sure I don't get hit by a car, and that I don't fall in a hole.
And that sounds like my day.
And so, like, I walk to work, don't fall in a hole, don't get hit by a car. It's lunchtime. Oh, I live with nuns. I can go back to the nuns.
Who will feed me? That's nice.
And then walk back and don't get hit by a car and don't fall in a hole. But you learn where the holes are.
It's so true.
And see me and my Kenyan counterparts. You know, we had different theories about in East Africa. If you're white, you're called a Mzungu.
Is that like a Gwailo?
It's just white person.
Oh, okay.
And they will, like, call you, like, strangers will be like, hey, Mzungu! And there's shirts that you can buy that say, like, Mzungu is not my name. That's not my name. So we had differing opinions about whether or not I would get hit by a car. Whether or not Kenyans would hit me with their car. He's just like
on purpose?
Yeah, the status and, like, there's, like, messed up colonial stuff about being white and privilege and being there is, it's so ridiculous. His theory is just, like, no one's gonna hit you with a car because you're white. And so he's just like,
unless there's rage.
So he was just like, if a Mzungu is there, I'm going to cross with the Mzungu, because you're not
going to get
hit.
You're like...
But then I'm like, my theory, when I am in a developing country, I cross the road when locals cross the road.
Yes.
Because
they know
when to cross the road.
I totally, when I, in Lucknow, there's a major strip, and I always get anxiety. I'm a lot better at jaywalking now, but it's like, there's just like traffic, like there's two sides of the road, and the traffic moves, and there are no stoplights. There's just traffic police. and there's, like, these speakers where, I didn't realize this, I thought it was the radio for the longest time, but it's not. It's the traffic police yelling, and it's really funny, like, if you're walking down the road and you have someone interpreting for you, they'll tell you what the transit police are saying, and it's like, hey, you, I can see you, don't do that. Don't ignore me. I know what you hear me. Don't do that thing. Anyway.
It's a perfect system.
It is. But it's, like, really scary because you have to cross the road. And in India, if you put out your hand to, like, stop people and you do it, like, really assertively, they'll stop. And I used to think it was because they were actively concerned for you. But my friends were like, no, they're not concerned about you. They're concerned about damaging their car. And I was like, I don't know if it's true, but it makes sense. Because there's a lot of people, so it's like, I need to protect my car. Yeah. I don't know.
See, and I was in
India. With a few fewer people, probably.
I'm sure they are concerned about you, but this is what one friend told me, and I was like, oh, I really hope they're concerned about people. Yeah.
Maybe as a foreigner, they're concerned that there would be bigger implications hitting you than...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't always, like, stick out as a foreigner.
Yeah, something. That'd be pretty funny.
That's true. There could be that, too. So maybe I will get hit by a car. Maybe they're trying.
I think people are genuinely... I think they're genuinely concerned about hitting a person. I prefer to believe that.
Yeah, human empathy.
It does exist on some sort of cellular level, I would think.
But I still get a lot of anxiety crossing the road. And usually I'll team up with, like, people and be like, are you crossing?
So
I'm crossing
don't
too.
Don't be on the outside of the clock.
I took me, during the last year of our master's, one of my best friends, who I grew up with in Edmonton, and had been to India with before. Her family's all from India, so she was getting married to a white man in India. But because, like, me and my family grew up with her, all of my family went to India. And so by this time, I've already been to India. I've been to East Africa twice. Like, it's not new. There's not a whole lot of culture shock. But, like, driving, crossing the road and driving is huge for people who have not. Like, driving can be really anxiety provoking for most people. I just assume that they know what they're doing. And
they do.
They do, but there appears to be no rules.
There are rules.
There are rules.
Absolutely rules.
There are rules, but, like, lanes, the rules that we know and love or don't love.
There are rules. There are definitely rules. They're just not...
The same.
They're same.
Yeah, so, like, there are as many cars on the road that fit on the road and not the lanes, but there are lanes, usually.
There are lanes.
There are lanes, but it doesn't matter. They just...
Depends.
And then horns? Horns are not mean. Horns are like,
hey
I'm
here. It's like you don't necessarily signal, you just honk your horn. You're like, hey, I want to pass you. Honk.
And then they'll honk if it's clear. Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's really aggravating, especially because you're just like, you don't need to honk your horn, just check. And then we don't all have to honk at each other, but it doesn't work that way. Yeah.
My God, I'm just like an oversensitive, like, suburban white person. I'm like, that sounds awful! But I'm also like, what's so good about our system? Like, we get in trouble if we cross the road, like, when it's not the right time or something like that.
Okay, that, I have to say, is an overwhelming West Coast thing, because where I'm from in Southern Ontario, it's not like India where people are jaywalking all the time, but people do jaywalk. When I first moved here, and maybe this isn't, maybe this is just my biased observation, but when you stand at a traffic light and there's no cars coming, people will, like, stay on the sidewalk and not cross. And I don't get it. There's no car. Just cross.
I try not to do it too much because I live in New West, and it's right by the cop shop, and there's just always police cars. And I'm like, they're so bored. It's New West. Like, how much is really happening here?
That's
like,
true.
Enough, but not that much. There's way more cops than there is crimes.
Yeah. Yeah, New West is tiny.
It's so small, but they have so many police.
They have their, like, own force.
And
it's
not
even the RCMP.
It's not even necessary. But the RCMP show up sometimes, too. They're just chilling. Just, like, hanging out. We got more Tim Hortons per capita than any other.
I don't know. I grew up in Alberta where there's just Tim Hortons everywhere. So in Saskatchewan, there are Tim Hortons everywhere.
Everywhere. I haven't been to Saskatchewan in a while. That's where my wife is from. I'm really, like, I miss aspects of it, but I'm not sad to not be there right now.
I have never been to Saskatchewan.
It's pretty nice.
My
in
colleagues
the
think it's a hilarious name, though. When they ask me the provinces, and they're like, Saskatchewan.
English was an easy language to speak.
No, it's not.
Saskatchewan's pretty, it's a mouthful. Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Oh my God, no.
Oh, I get you, you get me.
You're gonna write a play about Tommy Douglas to the tune of Hamilton, but then they go, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
How does a leftist socialist son of the prairies, and I don't know, whatever.
Prairies. worse.
I know, something, something, making social medicine. I don't know.
You said something that made me laugh, Abby, when you came in, where you're just like, oh, living in a place with sidewalks, like, and I'm never gonna complain about paying taxes again or something like that. What was that?
Paying taxes.
Yeah, no, I mean, I believe in taxing, but, yeah, nah.
Socialism.
There are sidewalks in Lucknow, but there are holes. No, I mean.
Holes and get hit by a car.
There's still fall in a hole. It's there like are the holes, exciting part of your day.
And people, I don't know, you just take public space. I never, like, even things like clean air. I don't know if you guys read the news this week about. Well, I don't know if it made the news, but I was in Delhi earlier this week for Diwali, and people were bursting crackers, and it was just, I walked out of my friend's apartment, I was visiting her, and you could not see very far in front of you.
Just from all the firecrackers?
Yeah, and the air pollution in general. Oh, God. So, like, air pollution, and, I mean, there's beautiful things about India, I'm painting it out to be this awful place, it's not, but, like, in terms of public space and having parks and sidewalks, like, I really appreciate having. When this morning I woke up really early and I went for a walk and I was like, this is so nice.
Go hang out at Dude Chilling Park.
I forgot about Dude Chilling Park.
Is that, you know, yeah. That used to be Guelph Park or something?
Did they actually change it?
How did
Oh, yeah. Nice.
What was the
overwhelming public feeling about it?
Yeah, that's a great name for a park.
There's now a beer from a local craft brewery that's Dude Chillin' Ale or something like that.
That's the best prank ever in terms of, like, long-term impact, I would say.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's something that we're still memetically famous for.
Yeah, I like it.
Vancouver, as famous for Dew Chilling.
Yeah.
Interesting.
As, like, I've seen it on, like, Imgur and Tumblr.
Really?
And stuff. Mm-hmm. People are like, is this for real?
Because someone
you're like, it is real.
It is real. I've been there. I've seen things.
I took a selfie.
I used to live on, like, 19th and, 19th and St. George, so the closest park was Tea Swamp Park.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. And it's just like a square of green. That's it. And I would just go there to smoke pot because my landlady hated drugs. So that's like the only thing it really had going for it. But that could get a new name, Tea Swamp.
That sounds like a strain of marijuana, to be quite honest.
It's Alaskan Thunderfuck Park. Romulan Park.
Oh my
just
God.
Just name wow. Weed strains all day. They're so stupid. It's not as cool as, like, loving wine or beer or something like that. You can really get scientific with it, but then you just sound like an asshole as a stoner. Like, don't make it complicated. Keep it simple. Don't you think?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't really know much about marijuana.
Yes, because you're a perfect angel.
I know.
A little turd.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sound like a weed kind.
Tea Swamp.
What are you?
This is peanut butter and honey. I forgot to eat.
I've been watching in fascination.
We're just watching you spread peanut butter and honey like, on a little.
Yeah.
It's so rude to eat on microphone. I'm so hungry.
That's okay.
Keep going.
I'm trying to chew so quiet.
I'm going to make vegan French onion soup after this. I'll
wow.
Eat
the shit out of that.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. They have like the better than bouillon that's like the beef flavor.
I get those too.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to caramelize the shit out of some shit.
Do you need help chopping onions?
Sure.
I'm very good at it.
That would be great. Yeah.
Well, I'm not good at that.
I like to cry.
I wear contacts, so I feel like I've got this magical power in which I don't cry when I cut onions.
Oh. It's like built-in safety goggles.
It's like a safety goggle. That's a good way to think about it. Yeah.
I like it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I was just curious to like catch up and see how you've been doing in the last little while. Because we had a chat on Skype like a year ago.
Yeah, I think I was having a crisis.
You were just like... And I'm in a hotel room in some other city, and I just, like...
Don't know what I'm doing with my life.
Yeah, and just to, like, touch base with, like, people that were still in, like, our school program. Mm-hmm. Be like, how is everyone else coping?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not great.
Mental health.
No, I really appreciated that. I was kind of in the middle of nowhere in the state where I work, and things were happening, and I was, like, often when I go... to these places, I don't leave my room by my... Well, I can leave my room by myself, but there's nowhere to go, especially if it's at night and it's not safe. So I was like, ah. So you get cabin fever, and I really appreciated having that discussion with you that night.
Did you get to have, like, room service in the hotels, or?
Yeah, but it's like, okay, the hilarious thing is sometimes I don't order room service, but because a lot of the areas I go to, it's really novel for them to have a foreigner in the hotel, they'll just show up at the door and be like, ma'am, open the door. And it's like, how dare you? I don't want to open the door. Or sometimes they don't knock, they just walk in, and you're like, oh,
not ideal.
So
not ideal.
You lock the door. Like, if you order something, they'll just, like, walk in.
Oh, they won't, okay. Like, they don't just, like, come to your door for no reason.
No, no. But sometimes they'll, like, make
like,
excuses.
Hey, what are you watching in here? Will and Grace, that's my fave. Let's move over.
There's not enough linguistic, there's too much of a language barrier to have, like, that kind of dialogue.
No, I don't think that would happen there.
But usually, I've had one guy come to my room, and he's like, ma'am, can I have your picture? And I was like, no. He's like, please? And I'm like, this isn't a discussion? No? And he's like, you're so beautiful. And I'm like, okay. And then I close the door. It was really awkward.
Oh, God.
And then I locked it.
I wouldn't survive it. I think I would just be, like, so... I would just be frozen with, like, wanting to say no, but being physically unable to. You just get a picture of me looking like,
You know, it was fine. I mean, at least he asked. No, but it was good. I really appreciated that conversation. It was good.
It's, I don't know, I've had friends that have lived elsewhere where it's like they can speak some of the language but not fluently enough to have, like, small talk conversations with, like, people that you interact with, and it just gets kind of lonely in that way. Where it's like, I can't express myself fully, like, I can't really joke, everything's just so, like, formal, so everything is just transactional language instead of, like...
Yep.
Building relationships. I don't know how are you coping with that?
I don't know. Like, when I don't like the term the field, but I'm gonna use it. when I go to the field, I was working on some stuff where I worked with a lot of people for a particular project, and it was nice because even though we didn't speak the same language, I felt like there was a connection.
You still had, like, expertise in the same topics and things like that?
Yeah, it was a shared experience, and, like, I'd come back and, like, talk to them a bit more, and then I'd come back and we'd, you know, work on stuff. So there, despite these huge differences, like me being from a different country of a particular class, and they were from such a different space entirely, but somehow we got to work together on this project, and that was really awesome. But sometimes, I mean, I go and it's like, I have no, like, I don't know the person, and you're just there to gather information and make an assessment about how whatever you're doing is running properly, and then you leave, and then you're like, okay, I have the information, but that was a very transactional discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's there in any work in public health, probably, where you're doing on the ground stuff.
See, and I know something I found with in Kenya, like, I knew some of the guys that I was working with enough that even, like, when they were kind of having, like, Swahili / Shang conversations, that I had, like, I could figure out kind of generally ish sometimes what they were talking about, and would surprise them just through body language and stuff like that. So, like, if you know someone, you can kind of get a sense of, like, the topic and what's going on. But
if you know enough of the language too, like, I don't speak great Hindi, but I know enough that if I'm listening, I can at least tell if there's work that I need to achieve. I'm like, okay, this conversation is going in the right direction. Oh, it's not. Okay, now I need to intervene and push people to talk about these things. Okay, great. So you kind of learn how to work with the language.
Half information.
Half information. Or sometimes I just sit there for, like, an hour and you listen really hard.
So frustrating.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Such difficulty with that. I even have difficulty working with students who are international students who, like, have a very good grasp of English, but not maybe, like,
conversational fluency.
Yeah,
or...
Oh, okay.
Because I am not great at making myself easily understood sometimes. I, like, try to cram too much information into sentences and then can overwhelm. And that happens to me sometimes in my job. And I just, like, it drives me nuts when I can't make myself totally understood. And that's my issue, right? But I would have such difficulty with that. That would be amazing to me that that's, like, part of your everyday, and you're just like, well, just gonna deal with that.
I mean, I have a lot of colleagues who speak English. Most of my colleagues do, like, when I'm sitting in the office. So it's fine. I live in an English bubble, but... Yeah, there are days where you're working with people and English is not their language that they're comfortable in, so you just speak really slowly. And then I feel bad because I often have to impose on my colleagues to do some translation work for me. So there's questions of, like, am I actually helpful? Am I not helpful? What's going on?
I have a totally different accent when I speak to someone who doesn't, like, in another country.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people being like, what, it's just slower, you enunciate.
you point to yourself.
You sound like a British person doing an American accent, kind of.
No, I remember being in Uganda the first time, and we're both a bunch of students. We were going on a safari, and we had some, I can't remember. We were all Canadians, though, and they're just like, what is her accent? And they're just like, oh, she just does that.
She just
speaks like that to locals, and I'm like...
Does it, like, is it almost a, like, I don't know, my mom does that a lot where I'm like, Mom, that's really condescending, like, you slowed down. She's like, but it's necessary.
Yeah, like, it's like, slower, I use based, like, simpler words, mm-hmm, like, it's, mm-hmm,
yeah.
And it's,
it works.
It feels condescending, but it also means that they're understanding you.
Mm-hmm. My intonation and the way I speak English completely changes when I'm in where I live. Mm-hmm. It just not like, and it happens subconsciously because if I don't say something in a particular way in English, because people do, like, it's almost like Hinglish, like people speak Hindi, but there's not words for certain things in Hindi. So people just use the English word. Yeah. If you don't say it the right way, people don't understand it. So you just flip it.
You change your grammar.
I've changed it.
Things like you, like, take out like important words and just say like the basic,
those,
like,
adjectives out of there.
Yeah, because people like get very confused if I speak too fast. So if I just simplify it, they're like, "Oh, okay, like no problem," and there's no issue. It just kind of happens. It's not even conscious.
Again, this seems like just such a, you've done so much adapting in the last little while, and like you've got traveling experience. You've traveled a lot. You said that you lived in India before as well, like. So it's not super new, but still to actually go and live somewhere and work somewhere is, like, a whole new thing to adapt to, which I find really, like, incredible.
Thanks. It's been, I feel just, like, really lucky, honestly. Yeah. I mean, there are times where I'm tired. Yeah. Like, I'm in a phase where I'm tired right now, but at the end of the day, I'm like, I live in this country, and I get to see parts of this country that tourists don't get to see at all.
Yeah, totally.
So that's kind of cool. But you do a lot of, there's a lot of things that I do in my day-to-day where I'm like, am I really doing this? This is happening, okay.
That's what I'm most curious about. Like, I mean, the work that you guys do is probably incredibly important, but I'm really curious about, like, the minutiae, like, the day-to-day. What's that like being in a totally different place?
It's hard. It gets... There's days where it's awesome, like, the day-to-day where I'm like, this is... I'm trying to think of a really good example. It's not coming to me right now. But there are some things I don't have a day-to-day on. Like, on my weekends, it's like, okay, I live in this really interesting part of the world, and I can take a flight to Bombay, or I can take a flight to Delhi, and I can just go see things that a lot of people pay a lot of money to do. Mm-hmm. But there are also weekends where I can't afford to do it every weekend. So right. I'm in this city where there's not a lot to do, and you kind of have to make your own fun.
Amuse yourself.
Or not.
You ever thought about starting your own podcast?
I thought about
it. We're very good at making our own fun.
It's an idea, you know. I'm getting ideas. but, like, the day-to-day, it's, like, my life where I live completely revolves around my job. Mm-hmm. So there are days where it's hard because I can't, like, leave my job and, like, go and do fun things after work.
It's
or
like
just
grad school.
Yeah, it's like grad school. Yeah.
There's no going out for cocktails with your coworkers.
Oh, no. I don't even know. Well, you could go for cocktails, but it's just, then I'd have to get home after dark, and that's a thing.
Yeah.
So I'd rather not.
What do you eat, usually?
That's an interesting question. So buying groceries is different. Like, you can't just go to a grocery store and get your meat and your vegetables all in the same place, depending on where you go. So I eat a lot of vegetarian food. I love meat, but it just is, I'd have to go to the butcher and ask them to cut my meat a certain way, and it's just too hard, so I just don't.
Yeah.
I'm a lazy vegetarian.
I'm hearing, like, lots of adaptation, lots of avoidance.
Yeah, there's a lot of avoidance. Or it's like, I couldn't.
This is too complicated.
I'm just not gonna do it.
I was very vegetarian, too.
Yeah, you just kinda, but it's not, like, I don't miss meat. Sometimes I just am like, this needs to happen, and I'll order food.
It's always something you don't want to take a chance on is meat. Like, you want to be sure.
But also, like, going to a butcher
is, like, a different,
in a different country, because it's like a butcher. Like, you see the animal, like, there, and you're like,
it doesn't bother me so much as more like, you don't want to, it's not always clean, and I'm just happier not knowing that my meat is not clean.
Yeah.
It's just like, serve
after
it to
doing,
me.
Like, I just, food safe in BC, I'm just like, It's been not longer than 20 minutes.
It's much hotter than 4 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, like, everything is in the danger zone here.
I am so terrified.
It is 45 Celsius.
I don't think they're practicing first in, first out.
Like, or just like when you like when you want chicken, it's just like, well, they'll give you a chicken. Like, a living chicken.
This is your problem now.
Yeah. And you can pay a little extra sometimes.
End this.
For them to like deal with it for you, and you're just like, you're like that sad foreigner that can't like manage their own like,
poor little white girl can't choke a chicken.
Yeah, like could you kill a chicken? And it's just like, maybe.
I thought about this. I'm like, maybe I should only eat things I feel like I could actually kill myself.
You know,
that was that inflection that I could kill on my own, not kill myself.
Yeah,
but I was watching the chefs like the chef's table on Netflix where they do in France.
I can't believe
I was just I said it like that. I was just like
in France.
Yeah, but the guy who's like the cool French guy goes, or no, actually maybe it's
the Chilean guy.
No, I'm thinking of maybe the one that's in
the Chilean one,
Denmark
was great.
Or something. Or what was I watching? it was some chef show on Netflix, but the guy like had to just like pick up a duck and like break its neck, and he was so upset about it. He's like, I'm a duck farmer. I don't know if I can do this much longer because I don't like killing the ducks because I like them. I take really good care of them, and then I get to like them, and then I have to pick one up and like just like okay,
snap
buddy.
Its neck.
Oh look out on the lake, George. Look out on the lake.
It's your last
like,
view.
But he just like kind of drops it and then like, wings it around like a poi ball or something, and then it's like, but it's like it's much less gruesome. Than
it's
say
terrible.
Like the chicken, okay. Michael Pollan and the chickens or whatever. Like it doesn't, nothing gets cut off. It's just like, and you're like, oh,
it's done.
That's not here anymore.
Yeah,
that duck's soul is ascended.
I mean, I've killed chickens. I've killed chickens before, but mostly,
you have?
Yeah, on my farm.
You're like, not on purpose though.
No, it was because a bear got into our hen house,
and
they were all half dead, so you had to finish them. Yeah. We didn't eat them. We felt so sad. It was just like
you didn't eat them.
No.
What, you buried them?
Yes.
Oh. I was kind of
my mom's very sensitive. She was very sad about it.
Sometimes I'm like, were we switched in the hospital? Sometimes I wonder because like I'm just as tender hearted as your mom is.
You buried your chickens.
Yeah,
that's
we had
really
to.
Sweet.
But like, I also like because we've been doing a lot of fishing, and so I make a lot of fish stock, and so I'm dealing with like the entrails and the heads and the like steaming the meat off the bones and scraping that and making stock and whatever. And it's just like,
cool.
It's gross though. It's so slimy, and so I don't really like it.
I don't like making stock, but it's like it's one of those things you feel really like up your own ass afterwards.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh goddamn!
I'm so good. Look at this.
It's the most amazing bone broth, you guys. It's very healing.
So
it's
good.
Very good for your gut.
Just like collagen and like proteins and calcium.
It's a really good. I'm going to make some salmon chowder, so it's going to be delicious.
Wow.
It's going to be good. I do just like I'm obsessed with soup, so yeah, I should probably. I got like 3 chicken carcasses in my freezer from rotisserie chickens I ate with my hands.
Oh my god, rotisserie chicken.
You're making lists, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm making like mental lists of
all the stuff you want to have while you're here.
Yeah, rotisserie chicken was not on the menu.
Like, I don't know. I was gonna say Kraft dinner. I'm like that would be easy to take back with you.
I've done that actually. I have taken some of the things I take back are Kraft dinner, and I took back like a Reese's peanut butter cake mix, and I made it for Thanksgiving.
Oh my god, that must have been like the greatest treat.
It was so great. We were like, my roommate and I got it, and we were like, okay, we're gonna save this for a day that's very special. And then Thanksgiving came, and we made a chicken, and then we had that for dessert.
That's lovely.
It was nice.
That's really exciting. I love to know what expats like to have, like what they miss the most.
I miss pie. Because you can't, like, I mean, you can't.
You immediately.
Pie
know.
Is also delicious.
That was, like, there was not even a pause between the question and the answer.
Pie
you
and
just
sushi.
Had that.
And cheese.
And cheese.
We've just had a lot of cheese today. So
yeah, I wasn't really thinking about cheese. But, yeah, definitely pie and definitely sushi. I miss variety. Like, we're so lucky to eat anything we want here.
Yeah.
And I love Indian food, but there are days where I'm like, I just want.
I don't want another fucking dal makhni.
Yeah, that happens. That happens.
No more curry.
Or I miss, like, lettuce, which sounds silly, but you can't just get lettuce where I live. So,
yeah,
salads.
Yeah, you don't eat, like, a lot of raw veg.
Well, I have a sorry, this is crazy.
There's a system for
I have a system for washing my vegetables. It's very, like, I have, like, these water cleaning tablets, and it's probably really unnecessary, but I do it for myself, mm-hmm. and I take the drinking water, and then I just soak the vegetables for half an hour, and then I make a salad, and it's usually okay.
Right on. Mm-hmm. But there isn't a lot of lettuces, or...
Well, not where I live. You got, there's a guy, like, two streets over from me.
I got my lettuce guy.
I have a lettuce guy, and I go to him sometimes, and it's like, yeah, I have this lettuce, but it's going to be, like, this much money, dude. And it's like, I don't want to pay that much in principle for lettuce, so I just don't do it, and... Yeah.
So I just went to Grace and Frankie. You have a lettuce guy. Maybe you don't have a yam guy.
I don't have a yam guy.
So you can make your yam loop.
But you can't. I've never actually seen... or yam loop. I've never seen yams in the city where I live.
Oh, weird. I would expect to... I don't know.
Tubers.
I just think tubers are everywhere.
Maybe.
There's lots of yams.
Maybe there are and I haven't noticed.
You're just like stepping off the plane at YVR and someone hands you like a romaine lettuce and you just crunch it open and it's like... right away.
There's so many foods that I'd love to do that with when I get off a plane. Peanut butter. Well, actually, I take peanut butter
is a really common one that I've heard from expats because it's not everywhere. You can't find it everywhere every which way.
I always bring peanut butter back with me.
You can usually find Nutella, though.
Mm. Yes.
That's not bad.
You can buy, like, really bad peanut butter, like the sugary kind, but you just want, like... peanut butter.
What is the one that's like Adams or yes. Adams or something like that? The one with the blue label?
And the big oil slick on the top that you stir into it?
Where it's just
sometimes just pour that into like if I'm making stir fry or fried rice or whatever. I just like pour off a little of the peanut oil and scoop a little of the peanut
oil. It's really tasty.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Peanut butter.
My sister.
It's sad when I got to the bottom and you just didn't mix it enough. And it's
just dry. It's just dry and sad. You like try to revive it with a little canola oil or something.
Come on.
You could do from the prairies.
These sweet, sweet peanut butter hacks.
Sweet peanut butter hacks. Yeah, well, my sister-in-law, who is a past guest, Katya, she lives in Haarlem in the Netherlands, and the first thing she does, we get off the plane, she comes to Vancouver to visit, we go to White Spot immediately.
Oh, always I love White Spot. I hate to say it, but I love it.
It's good, though. It's really so good. Because she did her BA at UBC or something, or master's, I can't remember what. She's very educated, don't you know? and then she always, like, a big bag of ketchup chips.
Yeah.
And, like, a sleeve of Oreos. Those are the things she immediately is like, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and please put dumb shows on the TV because that's what we're doing for this whole vacation.
Oh, so, that sounds really nice.
We recently learned that Nanaimo bars are Canadian.
Did the Nanaimo part not click for you?
The which what?
Nanaimo bars.
Yeah, that's a very Canadian thing.
Yeah,
because there's this
city Nanaimo.
I know, but it was like. There was, like, a tasty video, because they're amazing, of, like, Nanaimo bars four ways.
All the time.
And then it was like, Nanaimo bar, and then in brackets, Canadian chocolate bar. I was like, what?
Yeah,
I didn't know they were ever called a Canadian chocolate bar.
Well,
there
was a big discussion in the comments that no one actually calls it that.
Yeah.
You know what else I didn't really think about? I mean, I kind of knew it was always Canadian, but I didn't really think about it. Or butter tarts.
Yeah, I was just going to say butter tarts.
Yeah, I never thought about it. But it's a definite... Really? My cousin was visiting my family from Australia, and she wrote a blog post about butter tarts, and she was like, these are Canadian. And I'm like, how sad. Like, everyone
what
should
be... What
is
even in butter tarts? Is it like raisins and butter and sugar?
Yeah, it's like... Pecans.
No, it's like a... Walnuts.
No, that's like a pecan pie.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting it.
Butter tarts are like a pecan pie without the pecans.
Yeah, not even nuts sometimes. We've got some downstairs because I just found out my partner of 9 years, that's his favorite dessert. I had no idea.
Now you know.
I do.
He loves butter tarts, and they're basically, it's just caramel inside a pastry, more or less.
Nice. My grandmother and my mom's mom, who died when I was 11, she was really good at making butter tarts. And that was, like, her thing that she made. And I never liked them until after she passed away. And then I was just, like, I just missed her. And I'm like, I'll eat this weird goo thing. It's, like, almost like a mint
sweet
kind of. Like, it's just, like, a sweet, caramelly.
Too sweet for me.
Like,
delicious.
Like, dried fruit goo, kind of. I don't really know what it is. But I don't like Nanaimo bars at all.
I don't either.
They're gross.
I can only eat so much there.
I hate
really
custard,
rich.
Though. I don't
see,
like
and I like the
pudding.
Ones that
oh.
are...
custard? No, what
I
the
like
fuck
the
are?
Mint ones.
It's like icing custard. It's
coconut, isn't it?
It tastes like buttercream frosting to me, and I don't like it.
Like,
Chelsea,
I feel my pancreas hurt.
You watch Nanaimo bars four ways. What are they made out of? I don't actually know.
I think it's custard. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was coconut.
Some well, there was a coconut version on this, and there was a coffee version, and there was a
yum.
I like the peppermint.
No,
not the normal. Bars,
can I just have like five thin mints like stacked together and call that a dessert bar? I like cookies. That's like the only real sweet food that I really can't stop eating if I get started.
Mm. Ice cream?
ice cream's just its own
category. That's not even a dessert. That's just
anything
a food
with
group.
A lot of like dairy fat in it is just. I'm Swedish, so like Northern Europeans are kind of the only people who are not naturally lactose intolerant. Somehow, like they're the people who are like. For us, it's just like, oh, this feels good inside of me. So whenever somebody's like, oh, I cut out dairy, I was like, oh, that's too bad you had to do that because I didn't.
Ooh, you smug bastard.
It's just great because everybody's off dairy and off wheat, and I'm just like got my homo milk, just like, ah, it's good. Just pour it all over.
What is there left to live for if you're off wheat and off dairy?
I don't know. Some people are really into raw food.
Yeah, roasted Brussels sprouts are pretty fucking awesome.
Are you off wheat and dairy?
No.
Okay.
I'm kind of off dairy.
Okay.
It just makes my throat kind of feel yucky and gooey, for singing and stuff like that.
But do you eat wheat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So good.
See? It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely grainy. You were laughing too about just like, oh my god, people with like allergies and intolerances, like,
yeah, I know.
Not really a thing. And
I guess it's not.
We also talked about recycling today too.
Oh yeah, recycling.
We totally talked about that like on the last podcast or something, didn't we? Or two podcasts ago, we were talking about how I don't use my green bins because I'm a terrible person.
Uh-huh. Come to India. No one uses green. Well, I guess people kind of do, but...
They throw it on the ground.
The earth. The earth is a green bin.
Yes. It's very different. Like, garbage does get, you know, managed, but it's informal. So it's a very different way of managing it. So interesting.
Yet, somehow, life goes on there. Like, people stay alive. Mostly.
Yes. Mostly. A friend of mine who's from Delhi and I have this joke. We're like, somehow the sun sets and rises every day on India and the world keeps turning and it's amazing. It's like a pretty amazing place.
Cool. What are some of the things that you really love about your, like, either day-to-day or, like, some of the things that you've done in the last year or two that have been really exceptional?
I don't know. I've gone to some really fun places. I went to Calcutta recently, like, for a weekend trip, and that was great, because everyone's like, oh, India, colorful, chaotic, and I'm like, no, Calcutta specifically. It's, like, a really crazy place, and it was really fun. Mm-hmm. There's just, like, I love the food. I eat a lot. There's just, like, I don't have a lot to do, so I kind of spend a lot of time, like, looking for places to go and eat. So I'll be like, today I'm going to go and have this thing at this place.
Is it pretty cheap to eat there?
Yeah, depending on what you're having, yeah. It can be really cheap. You can get a snack for, like, 50 cents maximum, like, maybe less.
Wow, because, like, I mean, I grew up in North Delta, which does not sound exotic at all, and it's not, because it's just over the river, pretty much.
One day it might be exotic, though, because it will be underwater, isn't it?
South Delta, for sure, almost certainly. North Delta might be okay. It's a little bit higher. It's a bit above sea level.
But there's a lot of folks from...
There's a ton of folks from, I think, north of India. Is that where the Punjab region is? Yeah. I'm really showing my ass about geography right now, but I just haven't looked at a map in a long time. I've had no occasion to. But yeah, there's a huge Punjabi population in Surrey and North Delta. Like, our high school is probably about 50-50.
Yeah.
And there's so many places to go and eat Indian food there, and it's very expensive. Like, Indian food costs a lot of money relative to, like, Thai or Vietnamese or Chinese or something like that, but I don't care. I think it's just all the ghee. It's like, ghee is an expensive ingredient.
Well, also, it makes everything taste perfect. Most of the Indian food that you get here at restaurants is, like, North Indian.
Yeah.
It's hard to find South Indian.
Yeah,
and
is.
The food is that like you normally out...
Yeah. Yeah.
The food that you normally eat here, like, at an Indian restaurant, is for very, like, fancy occasions. It's not
it's
eaten every day. Like, it's...
Yeah, the foods I like eating in India, you wouldn't find, like, it's mostly, like, snack foods and street foods, which are so good, but I don't even know where you'd get that. I'm sure it exists. Mm-hmm. It's not, if you go to a restaurant, you wouldn't really.
There's, like, a Goan restaurant on Broadway, like, just past Main Street. I can't remember what it's called, but the sign is orange. That doesn't help anybody. unless you're using Google Street View, I guess, if you're really curious. But I went there once thinking, because I'm used to Northern Indian food, which is very, like,
yummy
and fatty and delicious.
Cream
like just like a slop that tastes so good.
Yeah.
It's like it looks
super
bad
rich.
But it tastes great.
Yep.
Or it looks beautiful if you don't mix it all together anyway, which I always
it
do,
looks like
I'm
a
filthy.
Painting palette usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a beautiful mess. But this place was just all like little tin cups of like relishes and and like little salads and
like
stuff.
Like dosas are South Indian.
There are dosa places, but this place is not, I don't think. But yeah, it was very spicy too. It was like kick you in the face spicy.
Nice.
They didn't make it white people spicy for me. They made it like real serious. Good. I asked for that at Sala, which is on the north end of Commercial Drive, which is great Northern Indian food. And I was just like, he's like, how spicy do you want? I'm like, can you do like a white people medium? He's like, white people medium, got it. He was totally cool. He's like, yeah, I understand completely what you mean. Like mild for an Indian person, but like medium for a white person. It's like, yes, you're so right. Thank you very much. And it came perfect.
That's amazing.
He's like, just trust. Just say like, look, I'm a white piece of shit. Make my mouth tingle a little bit.
I think my sense of spice is like really skewed now, because when I first came to India, I was like, I just have to learn how to deal with this, because everything is spicy. Like, you go to McDonald's and there are spicy foods, which is delicious. And you just like, you're just like
a french fry with
it. No, it's like you get like,
there's like tikka.
There's paneer burgers.
Tikka burger. Aloo gobi burger.
Look at her face. She's so excited. It's like deep fried paneer in between two slices of bread with spicy sauce.
There's like the aloo gobi one too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I want Indian food so bad.
Indian food at McDonald's.
Like McTikka Mac or something.
The Maharaja Mac.
Oh my god.
That's a thing. At least it was a few years ago.
Yeah, when I was there, yeah. Yeah.
So funny. But you're just
sounds
like
a white person named it, honestly.
Well, probably. You just are like, McDonald's? I have to learn how to master spicy food, and then you just do it, and now I'm a lot better at it. But yeah, spicy McDonald's. I've had like spicy ketchup. Like things are just chips. Chips are spicy flavored.
You just always got like a little sheen of spice sweat all the time.
People put
much.
Spice in their pop sometimes. You can get like masala.
I've seen that you can get like tamarind soda, which I guess would just be like very cloyingly sweet.
I think so. I haven't had tamarind. You had tamarind soda
tamarind
today. Not at an Indian restaurant.
I haven't had this in a long time.
Yeah.
Mexican.
Tacos.
So hungry.
I think we're all just really hungry.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, I made tamarind paste or, like, a tamarind salsa one time. Like, why did I do that? I'm like, oh, right, the Veganomicon has these little...
The what?
The Veganomicon.
The what?
The Veganomicon.
But what is that?
She's trying to finish.
I'm sorry.
I really just like you saying it over and over.
I've consulted the Veganomicon.
Okay, wait, what is it?
It's a vegan cookbook.
Oh, okay.
It's like this massive, like, tome.
I have it downstairs.
I'll
show you.
It's fantastic. Like, I've never made,
like, Comic-Con.
It sounded like a conference name.
I'm not a vegan, but I love to eat vegan food, and they have a recipe for samosa potato boats. So, like, basically, you bake a potato, and you scoop out the middle, and you, like, turn all the scooped stuff into, like, a samosa filling with peas and carrots and beautiful spices and things, and then you mush it all up, and then you scoop it back into the potato, like, boat, basically, like the skin, and then you dab a little bit of tamarind chutney on it, and so that's, I made tamarind chutney from fresh tamarind, which you can get at almost any grocery store in the Lower Mainland.
Yeah.
Yummy.
It's pretty sweet. So it's good. I don't know if it tastes authentic, but they were delicious. Yeah. I always try to make something vegan if I have friends coming over for like a big party. Like this is back when I probably threw like one of my birthday parties.
I remember the exact party. I helped you make those fucking samosa potatoes. They were delicious.
They were good.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't bother putting them back in the boats anymore. Just like, just get a spoon.
Just make it like potato salad with the potato salad with the right spices in there.
Totally. It was like getting, because it was like, oh, you can pipe them in. I was like, I don't think I can, actually. That seems very fussy. Just everybody just gets a scoop around a truck.
Doing that.
They were good.
So we all sound pretty hungry, and we've actually been going for an hour. I wonder if we could even call it for
we can call it. This is like a nice little casual fun time talking about food and traveling. Yeah. And
it's right now I've got half an hour before people start coming over for dinner. Vegan French onion soup to make as well.
Whoa, you've got stuff to do.
Yeah.
And I was late, but I thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks
for
inviting us.
Is there anything else that you want to say about anything? I don't know.
Where are you living now?
Vancouver.
West End. Well, that must be a weird culture to get used to.
It kind of can be, maybe. No? I feel like
they've got kombucha stores popping up around there.
We have a farmer's market.
Ooh.
Every Saturday.
Rain
or shine. I can get pies there.
Oh, man.
Delicious.
The envy that just flashed in your eyes.
She opens, like, my tea cupboard, and she's like, oh my god, all your honey! I was like...
The man from the apiary is very attractive.
Blueberry, honey. What's that? I don't know.
Blueberry flowers? No, I meant it, like, genuinely. I was really amazed.
The honey collection.
All the varieties.
Yeah, it's like the variety.
I'm gonna entice you back here eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was so nice to see you, though. And yeah, it's been a long time, so and it was just, like, a random
It was random.
Just like, I remember that you said that you were in town. What's going on?
Yeah.
So thanks for coming by.
Well, thanks for
saving our
us.
Skins. We didn't have to talk to each other.
I think you probably would have managed.
Oh, we'll survive.
Somehow. Yeah, totally. But yeah, that sounds fun, and you kind of got some wanderlust inspired in me that I want to go somewhere more out of my comfort zone than
Come
I usually
visit.
Let's go to the curry zone right now. It's very close by.
Oh my god.
Or you could come and visit.
I was just waiting for the music that accompanied the curry zone.
Was it going to be like super racist Bhangra?
Maybe a little.
But like, yeah, how's that for racist Bhangra?
It was like that mixed with the Twilight Zone, so I went spacey, but like, it was...
So how's that?
Yeah, that was
okay, cool,
that,
perfect.
That's exactly what it was.
We've really created something beautiful here.
So yeah, standing invitation to, we'll do a Sea Hags podcast from Lahore. Or no,
Lucknow. Different country. It used to be the same country.
What is
just
this?
Like, it's just like
Lucknow.
Lucknow.
The entire podcast is just like the Skype ring.
It's possible. It does
Call
happen.
Disconnected.
Damn it.
Well, I guess we'll see
no,
you guys.
No, but come and visit anytime. You're always welcome. We'll go eat some food.
Anybody listening as well.
Anyone listening, just show up. I have a spare
mattress. But not after dark.
It's dangerous. Don't fall in a hole.
Or get hit by a car.
Yeah. These are some really good travel tips for today, you guys.
Travel tips from the Sea Hags and their good friends.
Okay, we'll see you guys
Thanks
next
for having
time.
Us.